our next guest takes a deep look at political ambition in the United States, what separates the people from their elected representatives, why we're suspicious of people with political ambition, and how we're not living up to our role as citizens.
Jeffrey Becker is with us now. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of the Pacific. His new book is called Ambition in America, Political Power and the Collapse of Citizenship. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me on your show, Rob.
So your book is about citizens and the people who want to represent them. Let's start with the citizens. You write, I'm quoting here, "Amid the celebration of individual ambition, Americans seem to have lost the ambition to be citizens." And I love that phrase, the ambition to be citizens. What would that look like? What is the ambition to be a citizen?
Well, what I was struck by was the way in which we often talk about how citizens do not participate in American politics, or alternatively, how elected officials might abuse their power. But what we miss is that in-between concept of people actually participating in daily life, people participating by running for elected office, and we don't really encourage political ambition in ways that support democracy. Americans will openly praise people with ambition in private life. We celebrate people as celebrities, entrepreneurs, but we don't trust people who show ambition in public life. We do encourage citizens to vote, but we do not train, nor do we encourage citizens to run for political office. And as I've quoted another person, Joseph Schlesinger, saying, a political system unable to kindle ambitions for office is in as much danger of breaking down as one unable to restrain ambitions.
Did we lose that kind of positive citizen ambition along the way somewhere, or did we never really develop it in the first place?
I think it comes in ebbs and flows. I think there have been moments where citizens have tried to organize collectively, where what it meant to participate locally means more than what we have now. And I write about this in talking about periods in American history where political ambition was of citizens was thwarted, where citizens organize themselves to participate in politics, to take control of a civic life that they thought they were losing control of, but they ended up ultimately undermining themselves. And so it's a story in this book where what we have is we've celebrated individuals. We praise that individual who wants to make a difference, but we don't really cultivate a way of people working together or working collectively. Public office has to be worthy of people ambitions. And when you ask people today, do you want to run for public office? Often they don't want to. They look at the scrutiny a candidate goes through, and that's not something a lot of people want. So it's a complex story, and I think the story that I'm trying to tell is a way in which that what gives people dignity has departed less and less, or it's moved away from public life.
And yeah, it's in that phrase I quoted, the celebration of individual ambition. So I'll represent the citizen here. I'm more interested in personal fulfillment, personal, maybe financial success, instead of maybe at the expense of embracing the duties of a citizen.
Well, that's precisely what we've had. We have people who celebrate personal wealth, and they see personal wealth as a way of satisfaction. It's a way in which things matter. Democratic life is hard. You get a tangible reward when you work for a job that pays you well. When you spend a lot of time working on legislation or working collectively with others, you don't always get what you want. You don't always get to guarantee the outcome. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we have a celebration of individuals that don't make room for the contributions or smaller contributions of people at the local level, or at least what we reward people for is that individual celebrity. We have a lot of people who want to be famous, but we don't have a lot of people who really want to participate in the sort of the nuts and bolts workings of daily life.
And we can point toward a lot of political movements where people get involved, but based on what you're talking about, I wonder, is there a negative way to be involved in politics? I'm active now only because I see my individual rights being infringed on, as opposed to maybe a positive way of being involved. I'm active because I want to get together with fellow citizens and shape the future of the country.
Yes, I think there is. I have a fear that we may be coming to a point where an elected official – who is only concerned about his or her career, puts their own celebrity above a larger good, the good of the country. I think that the healthy ambition that I argue for is an ambition that embraces a certain degree of thanklessness, a certain degree that you make your contribution, but you don't expect to be celebrated for it. You don't expect to be highly compensated for it, at least financially. And I think that's something that tears at the larger fabric of what we reward in American politics. We have candidates who forward themselves for elected office, but they haven't really spent that time working in their local communities. Not all, some have, but we have that situation where, you know, candidates put themselves up because they have the money to run for office, not because they've been actively involved in communities at the local, state, county, or regional level.
Well, given, as you've said, that we as citizens are suspicious of politics, distrust it, don't want to do the dirty work of getting directly involved in running for office, who does that leave? Is it in that situation, is it only people interested in self-aggrandizement, who are actually going to run for office? Is it that bad?
Well, I'm not sure it's quite that bad yet, but I look at what gets rewarded and the kinds of people who want that kind of recognition, and the question comes up, are these the people who are best qualified to govern? We increasingly see billionaires whose drive we admire putting themselves up as qualified candidates to be governors, qualified candidates to be senators, and yet it's not clear that the skills that lead somebody to be incredibly successful in business translate into the skills needed to govern. We don't necessarily like the imperious quality of somebody who is a corporate CEO who can make that quick decision. And a Democratic leader is somebody who has to forge compromises. So what we have are people who have made their success by not necessarily compromising. I look at a figure like Steve Jobs, talented CEO, but I'm not sure I want somebody like that as my governor.
Again, based on what you've said so far, though, if we don't trust politics or the politicians we see, there's a lot of appeal in somebody who we can see as an outsider. And in fact, a lot of people very deliberately try to run as outsiders outside of Washington, untainted by the political process.
Yes, that is precisely the appeal. And I think one of the cautions I have is that somebody like that appears as though they can solve all your problems. You could just turn your problems on to that person. I think a lot of people look at politicians this way as saviors from politics. And that, I think, teaches a very dangerous lesson about politics, which is politics is really about day-to-day interaction with the people you share a life with. And then when somebody comes in and says, we can solve all these problems, they sort of offer that easy solution, that there's some kind of simple solution to what are often difficult and intractable problems. We might not trust these politicians because they are making promises that couldn't possibly be fulfilled. I think that's increasingly what we're seeing as people who run for office by running against office. And that teaches us the lesson that, well, politics is a problem. It's not a way of life. It's something that needs to be resolved or solved or dispensed with.
Do you see more and more compromise, doing the dirty work, sometimes sacrificing principles to get something done, as being increasingly hard to do for politicians because of the punishment they might get from the citizens who elect them?
Yes, that is increasingly what we're seeing, is that for a candidate who's unwilling to appeal to whatever is popular for his or her constituency, primary constituency, they're increasingly afraid to cross the aisle. We repeatedly see candidates punished for compromising principles. And in a way, this is one of the legacies of what we've had in the 20th century. The more and more people demand their way, the way they want, what their outcome is as they see it, the less willing they are to compromise with people they see as on the other side of the aisle or even immoral. And part of what I address is how that dynamic of seeing the people you disagree with as immoral or even evil gets in the way of trying to compromise for democratic politics.
We're talking with Jeffrey Becker. He's the author of the book Ambition in America, talking about citizens, political representatives, and the divide, maybe growing divide between them.
And you can join the conversation. Are you suspicious of people with political ambition? Would you run for elected office? If you are in office or have run for office, what motivated you? And why do you think we're skeptical when it comes to politicians? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. We continue our conversation with Jeffrey Becker, author of Ambition in America, Political Power and the Collapse of Citizenship.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a blanket distrust for politicians and elected officials? If not, why do you think a lot of people do? Would you run for office? Have you run for office? What motivated you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. Jeffrey, you mentioned that citizenship, political participation can ebb and flow. Do you worry, though, that we might move past some kind of breaking point that ultimately threatens representative government in our country?
Well, that's what I fear we're at right now. I fear we're at a point where many citizens look at the electoral arena and say, I don't want to be a part of it, or I don't have anything to contribute. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a billionaire. It's easier just to focus on my private life. And that's the fear I have, is that we may be coming to a point where our elected officials lose contact with the kind of lives most of us live. Most of these officials that people don't trust have a disconnect with their with the people they represent. And I think that's part of the problem that I'm trying to describe, is a culture of celebrity allows us to put any values we want on these candidates, and those values might not be the ones we share, or they might not be the ones that the community in which we live shares. And that disconnect, I think, is a threat to democracy in the American Republic right now.
So one way of thinking about it is people go into politics for good reasons, but because the system of compromise and maybe corruption is inherently bad, it taints them. It makes them into bad people no matter where they started. Is there something to that?
Well, that's I think, one of the symptoms of a culture where we expect people to just realize our perfect values. And I think if we're training citizens to realize that compromise is part of the democratic process, that's not what we learn. What we learn is, I want my way, I want my rights, I want everything the way I want it. That focus on the self, I think, leads people to not want to compromise or not see compromise as a good thing, that you have to compromise with people you live with. You have to compromise with people in whom you share a town, you share a community, you work with. And I think we're moving away from a culture where people see themselves as wanting to compromise, being willing to compromise, or respecting people who actually craft, at the legislative level, compromises across two different parties.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Kurt on the line in Plover. Kurt, hi.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. I don't take part in the democratic process simply because I believe anybody who wants to run for office should be disqualified due to insanity.
Kurt, thanks for the call. I mean, that's maybe not an uncommon thought. Who would want to subject themselves to that process and then do the work once they're there?
Well, I like Kurt's point, because that's exactly where many Americans see themselves. The people who want to run for office are not people many of us would want to govern us. And I think a lot of that comes from, well, what are those traits of ambition? If we never are teaching people how to run for office, traits of ambition that we respect, then I think Kurt describes where many of us are. If you want to run for office, I instantly don't trust you. You seem like somebody who wants something from me, and not somebody who I see as part of my culture, somebody who represents me or my values, which I think is part of the problem.
Okay, so Jeffrey, how do we get all those other people to take the idea of running for office seriously?
Well, the solution that I offer up is that a revision political parties that actually link our elected officials, that linked public office with the daily lives of citizens, offers one possibility. If you are participating in public life, if you're participating in local governments, if candidates have to work their way up through local offices as opposed to, you know, entering that process at the senatorial level, at the presidential level, you may have more of a sense of connection between the candidates who are actually running for office and the communities from which they come. Historically, people, at least in ancient Athens, were elected office by lottery. I don't think we can go back that way, but there needs to be a sense that each of us has an obligation to participate in public life, or at least see public questions as something that we ought to weigh in on.
We're talking to Jeffrey Becker. His new book is Ambition in America, Political Power and the Collapse of Citizenship. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you trust people who run for office? Would you run for office yourself? Do you think there's something about our political process that is inherently corrupting? What would you do to fix it? 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email talk@WPR.org. And following up that last point you made, Jeffrey, it sounds like a lot of the core problem that you've talked about with celebrity politicians, outsider politicians, is a lack of connection, both to the communities they in theory serve, but also to other politicians, other elites that they might have to compromise with.
Yes, I think that part of what we have breaking down is a sense that the lives we lead are connected to our political system. We look at people on the national stage and we don't really know them. They don't seem as though people that espouse values that we recognize, or that they don't live lives that most of us can know. I mean, I live in California and I know who Scott Walker is. Is that a function of me growing up with Scott Walker? No, I've never met the man. I don't know the community from which he comes. But there are these elected officials who take on these national profiles. Anybody can now post their own material on the internet and develop a national following. But is that a following connected to where they live their lives, connected to the community physically, geographically, where they live? And I think it's that lack of connection connected with this kind of celebrity culture that creates this sort of disconnect, that creates a culture of celebrity that leaves little room for the average citizen to meaningfully contribute to public life.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Melinda on the line in Trempealeau. Melinda, hi.
Hi. I was just on to say I had run for office before at Coroner, and it's really strange to be running for an office like that. You wouldn't think you'd have to run for coroner. And then besides, you have to run Republican or Democrat or independent or whatever, and that should not be a political office, and especially because it goes nowhere.
And did you have to be a politician and go door to door and everything else a candidate for a city council might do?
Oh, yeah. Parade. You hold the kissing the baby thing, the handing the pamphlets up, the whole work, yeah.
All right, Melinda, thanks for the call. Maybe not coroner, Jeffrey, but do we need to put more weight on our local offices to get people in at that level?
I like the fact that Melinda really introduces that local, what a local campaign is like. It's going door to door, meeting people. And that, my guess is that the people who supported Melinda got to know Melinda. I don't know Melinda, but I imagine that the people who were supporting her for that office had a better sense of who she was. And I think that you wouldn't get the kinds of criticisms of a local official like that than you get of national officials. Now imagine hypothetically that if Melinda works her way up, regional offices, state offices, carefully, the longer she's in politics, the more people know who she is, where she comes from, what she stands for, and the less mistrust there might be for a candidate like that. I think that a political party that tries to cultivate local candidates like that, that tries to base its that base its recruitment efforts on getting local candidates like that has a stronger connection to the local communities, has a stronger connection to practices of daily democracy.
Linda, thanks for the call. We'll go to Dorothy in Milwaukee now. Dorothy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I was on the county board in Milwaukee County for 20 years, and I was county treasurer for five after that. My experience was that, again, like Melinda, I went door to door, and I had already a base in the community. I was about 30, I think, when I first ran. And I already had a base in the community, so I had a whole slew of volunteers that were willing to help. And that does make a tremendous difference because we had worked on community issues together. They knew me. They knew like what my orientation was towards the community and towards politics. And going door to door was just, it was a wonderful experience. I loved it. But I got out of politics. I would have stayed in longer, but I got out of it because I was sick and tired of being verbally abused. I was really sick and tired of the incivility from my colleagues, because that's kind of when I began to notice. It was in the late 1990s.
Dorothy, thank you for the call. Jeffrey, just 30 seconds left. Can we make politics a little nicer to keep people in it?
I think Dorothy really highlights what that the challenge is. You get people who want to run. They've got a clear base of support. But when they start to encounter really virulent criticism, that people no longer want to run. So what does that leave us with? People who are ambitious enough to withstand that kind of criticism. And those kinds of people might not be the best kinds of people to govern in a democratic republic.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Jeffrey Becker. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of the Pacific. His new book is Ambition in America, Political Power, and the Collapse of Citizenship.